Hey, church family. As we close out this year, Genevieve and I have been sensing a foundational depth stirring. There's a quiet, steady conviction that God is preparing us for more. And this year ahead is a really important building block.
Each year, our Christmas offering becomes a sacred moment for the mission and the tone of the year ahead. It is an active, tangible, and collective way of moving forward together on mission.
This isn't an offering to meet our budget. It's an offering to meet a missional moment, to rise to the invitation of God because He's already moving in our church and in our neighborhoods.
When we give, we're aligning our hearts with what God wants to do next. We're saying, we're available, we're expectant, we're ready to participate in your future for this church and this city.
In this year, we feel invited to strengthen our ability to stand with the vulnerable and those in need, and to invest in the generations to come. We want to expand our capacity for compassion and for mission.
Your generosity fuels our intern program, raising up young leaders who will shape the church and serve our city for years to come through a multi-year academically accredited program.
It empowers our benevolent care, helping families, single parents, immigrants, and neighbors who hit moments of crisis.
It will strengthen our work with Renew Queens, expanding our scholarships for kids with financial needs, creating spaces for families to connect and thrive, and fulfilling an ecosystem of community and mission for all of Western Queens.
And it grows our CARES network, allowing more capacity to carry the healing presence of Jesus in the area of mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Through the CARES network, we're not only offering deep levels of care to those that are struggling, but we're also equipping local churches and other organizations to train up their prayer and care structures, teaching them to minister in a clinically informed yet Christ-centered way.
Church, this is a moment to stretch our faith. God has been blessing us with many opportunities and expanding mission. We are committed to want to give away our best, to be spiritually and financially generous, not just for us, though Wellspring certainly benefits, but to see the kingdom come to all the city and beyond.
We believe God is calling our community into deep generosity, not out of pressure, but out of purpose. Because when we give joyfully and sacrificially, something shifts in the atmosphere of the city. We declare that we will not have a zero-sum mindset, thinking in closed circles, but instead walking with a kingdom mindset for the Big C Church, of which we get to play a part. To be blessed in order to be a blessing. To become a resourcing center for the gospel for many to thrive. To keep stewarding whatever God pours out into Wellspring for generations to come.
So we want to invite you to pray, to listen, to ask Jesus, how do you want me to participate in your work this year?
And then let's respond with courage and joy. Let's give in a way that marks this season so future generations look back and say, this was the year that our church stepped forward in faith and set a foundation that we're still standing on today.
We love you, church. We're humbled and honored to be in this together. And we cannot wait to see what God will do through this year's Christmas offering.
As we close out this year, I am filled with such a huge sense of gratitude. God is on the move. The mission is expanding. And it feels like more than ever before, the Lord is having His way. We're discerning it the best we can. We're simply joining Him in what He is initiating. It's like riding on the back of the wind, being propelled, or sometimes, quite honestly, it's kind of like just being held up, but by His power, by His grace. It really is true that His power is made perfect in our weakness, that He chooses time and again to use the foolish things of the world to shame the wise and the weak things of the world to shame the strong. And we are humbled to see the ways that the Lord is moving in this church, in this community. His presence is with us. It seems with each passing year, we are living more and more into the reality of our name, Wellspring, which means a source of continual supply, a place where people come to be filled and then sent out, drawing from the continual life source, which is Jesus, living into exactly what He said in John 7, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." And with that in our minds, I want to share with you all a prophetic image and a prayer that was actually offered to me on the Sunday right before we became Wellspring. It was actually offered by a man I only met once. He came to the church that day as a guest, a friend of someone in our church, and he prayed over me and offered this image. It's an image that I believe now more than ever is shaping what God's been forming all along in this church community. Just as God said in our founding verse, he would operate this way. He says, "For I'm about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland." It's like he initiates, he's doing something new. And by the time we perceive it, he's already begun. And we join him in this creative work that he's up to. Okay, so here is the image. I actually have a picture of the guy praying over me, I think, that we could pop up here. I don't even know his name. I think Patrick is the one that took this picture like 8 years ago. And the image he gave me as he was praying was the image of a well. And in the image, there was a lot of specificity on what was happening at, around, and in that well. First of all, there was a slow rise of water. The water started at the bottom, but it was slowly rising up and rising up until finally it burst forth to overflow, becoming a well of living water flowing out from this well. And there were people set apart to work at this well. Some of the people were called to keep the well clean. It's really important imagery there. The sense was that regularly cleaning the well really mattered because this water that was coming from the well was to be shared with many people. It would be a testament, a testimony, and a resource. And let's be honest, no one wants water, no matter how good it is, from a dirty well. And then there was another group of people keeping the integrity of the structure of the well. It was important to keep it strong if it was going to produce water for so many year after year after year. And then still, there was another set of people who were working the rope in the bucket for that well. That part where they were pulling out the water. The rope had to be strong. The bucket system needed to be efficient. This was valuable water that was coming from this well. People needed this water. And the way in which it was distributed and given needed to be dialed in. It needed to be resilient. And it needed to be capable of continually being able to give out that water to those that had need. And then, of course, the image expanded. There were many, many people all around the well and coming to the well. And the sense was this. By the way, this is a word, something I've studied and prayed into and developed since this day. The significance of well, especially wells in biblical times, the oasis in a desert. It's rooted in our root verse, right? Rivers in a dry wasteland. God's continually building on this image. But the sense of it hasn't shifted that much from the original giving of the word. The initial sense was of this image is still the same, that the church is the well, our church. And where there is water, life springs forth. Therefore, all the people around the well are the life that is springing forth, coming around a place of presence. People set up shops. People come to drink and be filled. They come to hang out, to find community. But not all people stay at the well. Many come and fill their water basins and leave. They come and refresh their bodies and fuel their animals and they fuel their families. And then they're back out toward wherever they're going. However, there are some that stay at the well and around the well. There are always those that tend to that care for, that build up and expand the use of the well for the sake of others. Those are called to keep the well pure. Those that are called to keep it clean, to keep the walls strong, to keep the ropes moving and mission expanding. That is the work of the local church in that present moment. It's the work of the body of Christ, stewarding the move of the Holy Spirit that God is pouring out, consecrating ourselves, stewarding proficiency and resilience, and creating access for all who are thirsty. And as that happens, especially in the middle of a dry and thirsty land, if you will, like a city like New York, life springs up around that well. Community forms. People get fueled and filled, and they get sent out on mission. And this is our call, and this is our joy. And lately, it seems that the water is rising. More of his presence, more move of the Spirit, more new salvation in this last season than ever in the history of the church. More ministries that are not just blessing us now, but blessing other entire ministries and entities, CARES and Alpha and Renew Queens, and we are growing. We grew 33% after going to two services 2 years ago, and then almost 15% after that, and then another 15% since this time last year to today. And so I just want to spend a few minutes sharing on how I think the Lord may be inviting us to partner and respond to what he's up to as we enter this new year. See, you've heard the phrase, I'm sure, what got us here won't get us there. Well, allow me to speak out of both sides of my mouth. I think that it is both 100% a word for us as a church and 100% the opposite word for us as a church. Let me explain. First, let me look at the opposite. In the spirit of our values, in the depth of our culture and our conviction, what got us here absolutely will get us there and beyond. What got us here? A deep pursuit of his presence. We want his presence and nothing more. What got us here? A deep sense of humility that this is Jesus' church, that he is the head, and we want to host him well and allow him to take the room and take leadership. What got us here? A commitment to worship and to prayer at our core. We want to capture the heart of God, to know him, to study his word and know his heart. And then from that place of intimacy, of knowing him, of being tethered to him, then we begin to pray back his very heart toward him. And then we begin to pray that heart back out over the city. What got us here? A radical commitment to hospitality, to open our doors wide to everyone, to say you are welcome, you are wanted, and in fact, you are needed. And then to create a space for all of these people to meet Jesus for themselves, to encounter the one who transforms everything, who requires our all, yet somehow gives us even more in return. As we like to say in this church, we take Jesus really seriously and try not to take ourselves too seriously. So in this sense, what got us here will indeed be what gets us to where we're going next, with his presence and Jesus at the center. Now, with that said, in terms of our formation and our leadership and our practices, what got us here actually won't get us there. Not fully. We've outgrown many of our systems. We're no longer a church that can just be cared for and led by a few people, and we have ministries reaching far beyond our walls. But isn't this precisely how Jesus designs his church? It's not supposed to be contained. It's supposed to overflow and to spill out into the streets. But in order for that to happen, we have to step out even further in this next year into one of our other favorite phrases that we say at this church, which is that everyone gets to play. God is on the move, and his preferred way of growth is what it has been since day one of the church, to pour out his spirit, to empower everyday believers to do great works in his name, to partner with his kids for the sake of his kingdom coming. This means that you have a part to play, that God cares for you and wants you to get involved, to share your heart, to share your gifts, to not be afraid or feel inadequate because he's called you. I want us to look briefly at a specific calling moment in Scripture, the moment that God calls the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1. The word of the Lord came to me saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." "Alas, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I am too young." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am too young.' You must go to everyone I send you and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you," declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, "I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I point you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." See, God had a call on Jeremiah's life, and he has a call on your life. He knows you, and he knows your circumstances. He knows your gifts and your fears. He knows your strengths and your weaknesses. And long ago, when God was desiring to have his presence known here in New York City, for there to be an outpost for his presence right here in Queens, he knew that we would be around for it, that we would be part of it, and that your gifts and my gifts and our hands and our passions and our acts of service would be part of the expression of his body to the world in this moment right now as we partner with his Holy Spirit in New York City. In John 15, Jesus said, "I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. God is appointing you and us together to bear lasting fruit in partnership with the Holy Spirit. And there are a few key takeaways I want to offer for us from Jeremiah's calling. First, did you notice how Jeremiah responded? He responded in humility. God calls him. He tells him he has a part for him to play in this moment. And Jeremiah doesn't respond by saying, "Why, thank you, God. I actually really appreciate that you're seeing my gifting and that you want to use me in this leadership position." No, there seems to be an awe, a reverence, a humility about Jeremiah. However, there's also a sense of self-proclaimed inadequacy as well. Perhaps an imposter syndrome creeping up, or a spirit of fear, or maybe even shame. He says, "God, I'm not a good speaker, and I'm too young." I wonder what Jeremiah thought God was going to say. Oh, shoot, you know what? You're right. You're actually not a very good speaker. And how old are you actually? I forgot. You're actually as young as you are. You look older to me from up here. You know what? Never mind, Jeremiah. Well, obviously not. Of course the Lord doesn't say that. He's not caught off guard by these things. That's because God's call is greater than our sense of inadequacy. Let me say that again. God's call is greater than our sense of inadequacy. It's greater than your sense of inadequacy. God's call is greater than that. Whatever you think is holding you back, whatever it is that you're naming that takes you out of the game or hinders your participation and value to God, His word over your life is greater than all of that. However, this is a two-parter, because notice how God does respond. He does not say, "No, Jeremiah, you're actually a great speaker, way better than you think. And you have an old soul, you come across way older than your years." No, the Lord doesn't do that either. He doesn't falsely build him up or placate him. He just says, "Go do what I've said and I will be with you. That will be enough." And that's because not only is God's call greater than our sense of inadequacy, but God's call is greater than our actual inadequacies. Here's what I think we need to hear. With God, anything's possible. It's less about our talent and more about our yes. It's more obedience than anything. It may be true that there are people that are better speakers and teachers than you. In fact, it probably is. It may be true that there is someone better with kids than you, or someone who's a better singer, or someone who's better at organizing than you. You may not know much about social justice or how to pray, and there are probably others who have more training in that area. But guess what? God has placed you in this church. God has placed you here in this moment of growth and fruitfulness in the Spirit. God has placed you in New York City in 2025 in this church, and we are growing and people are coming to faith and need discipleship, and God wants to partner with you in the work of His hands. It is okay to not have it all together. And probably it's better, in fact. It's probably precisely because you are not the best that the Lord is likely calling you in the first place, because God only uses broken people. So boast in your inadequacies. God will get the glory all the more. But do not let those inadequacies hold you back from obedience. And lastly, notice what the Lord did. He touched Jeremiah's mouth and said, "I have put my words in your mouth." Later, God would go on to say to him, "Get yourself ready. Stand up and say to them whatever I command you. Do not be terrified by them. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you, for I am with you and will rescue you," declares the Lord. Jeremiah gives his yes, and the Lord gives him all that he needs. He gives him the words and the protection. He goes with Jeremiah. I love that. He doesn't send him out on his own. God equips all those he calls. He gives you all that you will need, and then he goes with you. And so, Wellspring, I just want to leave you with this as we close out 2025 and step into 2026. Take heart. God is with us. Have peace. Fear not. and stand up. In Jesus, we have all that we need and all that we will need. He will be with us as we stay tethered to the vine. He will bring the increase as He sees fit. And as He calls, whenever we give Him our yes and stand up to take part, He will give us all that we need. He will give the words, but we must open our mouths to speak. He will do the heavy lifting, but we must stretch out our arms to serve. He will bring the power, but we must lay on our hands in prayer. It is such an honor to be a pastor in this church with so many amazing leaders and friends. God is good. God is kind. God is sovereign. In this world, we will have trouble, but take heart, for God has overcome the world. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And so we pray, Lord, let Your kingdom come and Your will be done here in New York as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for worship today. We miss you a ton, and we can't wait to see you in January. If there's anything you want to learn more about, if you want to give to our Christmas offering, if you want to get involved at Wellspring, there's a few ways you can do that. You can download our app, which has all the information you need. You can visit our website, wellspring.nyc, or if you want the most up-to-date information, sign up for our newsletter, which, once again, you can do right on our website. Happy New Year. We're so thankful that you are with us today. We'll see you soon.